Hello, I'm Michael Mazzalongo, and this is Bible Talk. You know, there are good and bad reasons for believing in God. Some of the bad reasons are as follows. I believe in God because that's what my parents believe. Well, that's not a very good reason because it's not personal faith. It's borrowed faith. Another poor reason for believing in God is I believe because it feels good to believe. Well, emotions are not a very good guide in finding truth because emotions are too easily manipulated. Another poor reason for believing in God is I believe because I like the traditions and the festivals attached to my religion. Well, this is not a good reason either because festivals and traditions don't have the power to transform someone's life. Well, today on Bible Talk, we're going to share with you some better reasons for believing in God. So stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Today, we're going to talk about God. Well, that's what we always talk about, but today we're going to talk about the existence of God. You know, there are good and bad reasons for believing in God. I'd prefer to have good reasons for believing in God, wouldn't you? Sometimes people have bad reasons for believing in God. You know, they believe because their mother believed or, you know, it's comfortable to believe. And they go along real well for a long time. But the problem with having bad reasons for believing in God or poor reasons for believing in God is that when something goes wrong or when you face trial in your life, if you haven't got good reasons for believing in God, what happens to your faith? Down, it's finished. Because if you don't have good reasons for what you believe, you cannot sustain attack on what you believe. And so I think there are good, you know, people laugh at me sometimes for believing in God. Oh boy, you know, I've got good reasons for believing in God. I don't believe in this, you know, this huge leap of faith where all of a sudden you leap into this big black cavernous space, you know, and just hope something's on the other side. I believe in God for good reasons, and I'd like to share some of those reasons with you today. First reason, number one reason, believing in God and believing in the existence of God is the best reason to explain the origin of life. Okay? Now, if you ask people, where does the universe come from? Where does life come from? You can only have three possible answers. Only three. Okay? Number one, people will say, well, where does the universe come from? Well, it was always there. And it just kind of evolved. And we are the product of that evolution. There's the key word. That's one of the explanations to where does this all come from. Another one is, well, there was nothing, and then all of a sudden, poof, it all happened all by itself. Spontaneous creation. I see some of you kind of tittering away and laughing, you know. I said, but hey, some very smart people, very, very intelligent people, hold to the idea that there was nothing there, and all of a sudden, bang, it all happened just all by itself. And then the third possibility for where does it all come from is that somebody created it as it is. Now, those are the three possibilities. It was always there. It just appeared all of a sudden one day, or someone created it. There are no other possibilities, no other answers to the question, where does it all come from? All right, how do we solve this question? Well, some of my Christian friends would say, oh, but wait a minute, the Bible, you know, Genesis chapter 1, you know, says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the end of the answer. Close the book. The Bible says that. I believe it, and that's it for me. Well, that's okay, I guess. If you believe that the Bible is inspired in God's Word, then you can accept that. But what about the guy who doesn't believe in the Bible, doesn't even want to open the book? Can you prove to him that God created the world? Can you answer the question for Him without the Bible? Yeah, I think so. I think just from using logic and observation, you can prove that God exists. So let's take a look at how you prove this. There are scientific laws that exist that are called the laws of thermodynamics. Fancy word, Greek word means thermoheat, dynamic means power. The laws of heat and power. And with these laws that have been developed, not by preachers now, we're talking scientists have developed these laws, okay? They have developed these laws through observation and through logic. Now, what do these laws say? Well, let's take the first law of thermodynamics, developed not by only one man, but one man kind of expressed it very clearly. His name was Robert Mayer, and he lived in the 19th century. He said something very I'm going to say something deep here now, okay? So you need to be ready. You all hanging on to your seats? All right, hanging on to your seat. Here's something deep and scientific. He came up with the idea that said, nothing comes from nothing. That's heavy, eh? Nothing comes from nothing. This is from years of research and logic and years of observation. Many scientists throughout the world finally came to the conclusion that nothing comes, and they watched nothing for a long time before they finally came up with the idea that nothing comes from nothing. Now, you know, I'm just teasing. You know, I like to tease. Actually, they said it in another way. They said that no new energy or no new matter is being or can be created. It can only be transformed or converted, if you will, into another form. I'll give you an example. You can take oil, all right? You can't destroy oil, but you can convert it into plastic. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what he is saying. You can't create something that wasn't there, but you can convert something that's there into something else. That's the first law of thermodynamics. Now, when people say the world just created itself, they're going against the law, the first law of thermodynamics, which is accepted by all scientists. All scientists agree that nothing comes from nothing. So, without even looking at the Bible, just through logic and observation, we can say to those people, well, that's illogical, and that's not scientific, and that goes against all the rules of science, because nothing comes from nothing. Therefore, the universe could not have just created itself. All right, let's take a look at the second law of thermodynamics. There's two laws. This one here was expressed clearly by a man named Max Planck. And he lived until this century here. I think he died in 1947. He said that matter is not eternal. Through observation, through testing, he realized that matter is not, you know, matter, stuff, things are not eternal. The idea was this. He discovered, and I can't go into all the details here, but basically he discovered that the universe is slowly in a state of decomposition. Okay? I mean, if you don't believe me, check the rust on your car. You know? The universe is slowly decomposing. Okay? The idea here was that in the universe, or rather, the universe is losing heat. So you can convert one thing to another, that's okay, and not destroy it or create it. But every time you do that, you lose a certain amount of heat energy. And when the universe loses all of its heat, it will not be able to sustain life. Okay? So the idea is, if something has an end, it also has a beginning. So he proved scientifically that ultimately the universe will have an end. Therefore, logically, it must have a beginning. And so for people who say, well, matter is eternal, it was always there, and we're just, you know, evolving into what we are, nah-uh-uh. Science and logic has proven that the universe isn't eternal, that it's winding down slowly. So that kind of blows that theory out of the water too. So if we know by observation that nothing comes from nothing, and if we know by observation that the universe isn't eternal, that leaves only one possibility. And what's that possibility? That somebody must have created it. I mean, if it isn't the other two, it's got to be the third one. Okay, the person that created it, I say that that person is God. You can call him Joe or you can call him Mo, but I say that person is God. You can give him any name you want, and people do. Now, that doesn't prove the Bible is true, and that doesn't prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that through logic and observation, we can deduce that a being or someone created this universe. Okay. So that's the first good reason I believe in God. Because of the laws of thermodynamics and the laws of observation and the laws of science help me in my belief. It's logical to believe in God. I'm not the one who's crazy. Now, I'll give you another good reason. Every time I look at the universe and I look at the stars and I look at people, I look at an eyeball. I look at that little baby over there. Every time I look at this, I see a wonderful order and a wonderful design. And every time I see design and order, the thing that comes to my mind is, if there's design, there's got to be what? A designer. Okay? I'll give you an example. One by a fellow named William Paley. He said, imagine you're going out into the desert and you're living at a time when all you've seen are clocks, you know, wall clocks, mantle clocks, clocks. You've never seen a watch before, but you've seen clocks. And you're going along in the desert and nobody's around and you're just walking through and poof, you see this watch on the floor. So you pick it up and you go, hey, isn't this interesting? Look at this little mini clock here on this little band. Wow, and what a wonderful advantage. And it's got this little, I wonder how this, does this go here or does it go, no. Oh, look at this, it goes on the wrist. Isn't that intelligent? Little holes here so you can tie it. Well, isn't that wonderful? You know what I've just discovered? I've just discovered a watch. And I've just discovered that somebody is smart enough to design this watch. You see, the moment I recognize that there is a designer who thought up the design for this watch, I recognize that there's something more than this watch. It couldn't have just happened there by itself. Somebody had to put it there. Somebody had to design it. And you know what else I realize? I realize that the guy who designed this watch has got to be a lot smarter than the watch. Right? So when I look at the universe, and I look at the stars, and I look at man, I recognize design, purpose, order, beauty. And I say, the person who designed all of this must himself have order, intelligence, beauty. In other words, every quality I see in the universe and in the creation, I assume logically that the one who designed it must have the same qualities. You see what I'm saying? So that's another good reason why I believe in God. I believe in God because it's logical, and I believe in God because when I look around and I see design, I come to the conclusion that there must be a designer, a very wonderful, supreme, eternal, intelligent designer who could have made all of this. Well, that's all the time we have for this class. We're going to come back in a moment, and we're going to look at some more. This isn't all I've got. I've got lots of reasons for believing in God, and we'll share them with you and with you at home when we come back in one moment. So stay with us, please.
Oh, indeed I do, yes.
Okay. Yes. Why?
Well, all you have to do is just look around yourself and see what we got, and the trees and the birds and the ocean and everything. Someone has created that. I believe that someone did create that. And I strongly believe in God, yes, indeed.
I believe that there's someone up there that created this world.
No, I don't. But I don't say that he doesn't exist. But if he is almighty, and if he exists, when I look at the news on television, I say that he must be very bad to let all that happen in Beirut or in Ethiopia or in Afghanistan and so forth.
Not per se that there's a God up there.
I think that he's the force of the universe.
Okay. And I believe more in myself than I believe in anybody else.
Well, I suppose there must be somebody to believe in. And, you know, somebody to created us. And I think we have to believe in somebody.
Well, I heard many stories. I had a lot of questions in my mind to start with, but gradually through reading and studying and thinking about it, I was able to work out that there has to be an initial cause for everything. And that's the cause we call God.
Why do you have a belief in God?
I don't know. Maybe it's the way I was brought up.
There's got to be a reason for everything that happens. And the only reason I find, you know, right now is God. Whatever happens, you know, during the day there has to be something higher. There has to be something that created all this.
Because we can't answer who built this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
Yes or no.
When I'm in trouble, then I think about him. When everything's going well, I sort of, you know, don't think about it very much.
Okay.
That's a bit selfish.
Well, I want some more good reasons for believing in God. Now, we've talked about a couple of reasons for believing God. You know, we were talking to people. I want to say something here. We were talking to people on the street, and we did some interviews, you know, why people believe in God. And it was amazing that many people didn't know why. They had no good reasons why they believed. And what was surprising is many of them didn't have good reasons for not believing. They just had no reasons. And so can anybody remember what was one of the reasons why, a good reason? Let's see what your memory is like.
Nothing comes from nothing.
Nothing, the great argument. Right. Nothing comes from nothing. Yeah. That was that way. Well, let me ask you something else here. I'll throw away the script. When did you believe in God? What was your experience? What was the thing? Was there a turning point, a pivot moment?
I think growing up in the country was enough for me. You know, I mean, like it says, and like it is, you know, his invisible qualities, there's a structure, you know, there's an obvious pattern. Being a bit of an artist myself, I know that, you know, for creation, you need a creator, you know. There's a certain design in the universe, I think it's obvious that, yeah, as a boy and now, you know, I mean, it's obvious that there's a very special designer that's behind all of this.
Anybody else have a key moment?
I don't really have a key moment as such, because the thing is I was raised going to church. But the things I would ponder, and the organization of things, and two things that I learned recently, I think, would bring this to light. One thing was behind... Every effect must have some sort of cause.
Right.
Another thing was every design, behind every design, there must be some sort of designer
capable
of producing the design. Right. And I think when you look around at the world, when you look at, like Marie said, when you look at nature and when you look at the organization of things, it simply makes too much sense. Another thing was, or one thing I remembered learning when I was doing my BSc was that you learn that things tend naturally to a state of disorder. You drop something, it breaks.
Right.
Which is why the theory of evolution, to me, I could never buy it, because you're taught that in science everything tends to a disorder, yet magically over the years, things just became more and
organized.
More orderly and organized over millions of years. And just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the idea. A trillion years ago, you know, a trillion years ago, it wasn't organized, and now a trillion years later...
By accident. Which
it's
is how
organized.
It happens.
Well, I think we've kind of... Unless you have
key
moment.
Well, it's just a system of authority that exists already. You know, when you're a child, you know that your boss is your mom and dad.
Right.
And as you grow, you find out that there are other people that have authority over them.
Right.
And then as you go in the world, working field and professional jobs, you find out that there are authorities still you understand about governments and then kings, and then you start wondering, you know, what comes after.
Yeah.
What
is
the whole system works through an authority,
right,
and there is someone that has authority over everyone, and then you look at the whole thing, you wonder, hey, there's got to be someone managing the whole thing.
Link. Well, I want to move on to some. I think we've discussed those and so on and so forth. I want to go on to some others. Any other good reasons? Design in nature? Well, then give me one.
Well, it's just what in your life, there's so many things happening. Every one of us feel like there's something exceptional happening in our life that is not happening in anyone's life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not
but
so.
But that's subjective.
Isn't that
subjective? Go get him, Mike.
No.
Go get him, boy. Shoot it down, buddy.
You didn't even let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. Finish for me. We know when you're heading down the dumper, you know.
No, because one of the most dangerous things to say is, why do I believe in God? Because deep down inside,
I can just feel it,
and I just know that there is a God.
True, we're talking about existentialism.
Yeah, but the thing is, why, though? Because that's so different. Somebody else could come up to you, and deep down inside, I could look at my life. I was beaten. I was abused as a child. Everything has gone wrong, and you cannot convince me that there's a God.
Right.
What do you tell a person who says that?
It's relevant.
Do you tell him that, you're just a misfit?
Yeah.
It was a total mistake what happened to you. Most people are like me. You can't, something like that you just can't explain.
Well, I think that when we see Jesus Christ, we see that he extended to the poor, to the blind, to those who were underprivileged. That's a bad word, but those who were suffering. You know,
but that doesn't mean anything for someone that rejects the Bible.
Okay, that doesn't mean
anything.
That's
the problem.
I didn't accept the Bible
before until someone, I mean, a lot of bad things happened in my life and there was suffering, and I sort of thought, well, maybe I didn't think too much about God.
Right.
But it's when I realized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God in my heart. I know the people told me he was,
right.
But realized the plan that he has set for us, and it isn't right. just playtime down here, and we're right. to have a good time and try and get through life and persevere and be a good person. There's more to it than...
Right.
And what we're really saying here is, why is it that some don't accept the gospel? You know, in a sense, why is it that guy, why is it that he didn't accept the gospel?
Right.
You know, the guy who's had hard times.
Right.
Well, I think if we go back to go evidences, ahead. Though...
yeah, thank you. we need some hard evidence here. We got eight sorry. Minutes to get this thing going here.
I think if we go back to Revelation, okay, not the book, but the idea... it's kind of like people cannot invent a God, and cannot. Moses didn't know that there was an infinity of stars. They counted the stars; they were, let's say, counting about 3,000. Okay, he didn't know that the earth was round, but it was told to him by whom? By an authority. And there's a lot of stuff that, if we look in the Bible, is revealed to man from. Not a man, but somebody else, yeah. some other being.
But he's into Revelation now.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's one of the things that you see from what the Bible teaches in the Old Testament even, that before the new scientific truth,
right.
such as the earth being round, that yes. it was mentioned in the Old Testament.
That's right.
When it was said, I forget where, that God sits above the circle
right.
of the
okay.
earth.
Okay.
When it's said... For example,
night and day.
Night and day when right. it says, for example, in Christ's coming, that one will be out in the field, another will be sleeping in the bed.
Right.
You see the had concept
of
night and day.
Of right. the word of God, Galileo would not have ended up the way he did.
Probably yeah. not. Right.
They call him a heretic.
Here, every kid believes in Santa Claus, and also most kids believe in God, okay?
Right.
And I think the faith they have in Santa Claus is as big as the one they have in God. And as they grow, they find out about Santa Claus. And, you know, they try to look into it. Is it true? Isn't it true?
Mm-hmm.
And they look into it. And in the same way, people look into, you know, finding more about God.
Mm-hmm.
And as we look and try to hear and see and study to try to find out about Santa Claus on one side and God on the other side, we see that nothing holds. There's no evidence to prove that Santa Claus exists.
Right.
And too many lies.
Right. Well, I'd like yes. to bring a kind of a hardcore, you know, hard example as far as proving. And that is, if we look at, we've been talking about looking inside, but if we just look at ourselves and our human nature, we'll see that we don't share, there are certain things we share with the earth mm-hmm. or with animals, like we breathe and, you know, we reproduce. You know, there's certain parallels. But there are other things that we do not share with animals, like we have a conscience. Right.
Creative.
We speak. We're creative.
Right.
We think. We have a sense of time. We respect. What else does? What other differences between man and animals?
We plan ahead.
Yeah, we plan ahead. Never see a dog say, "Well, I'll look in my agenda. You see, Thursday I'll get the Alpo." You know, it doesn't. You know, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Dogs and men are not the same. And my question is this: if man did not get these traits, these human traits from animals, and certainly he didn't get them from rocks or trees, where did he get them?
Good point.
Yeah. Right?
It has to be from
and
God.
It was one thing you said too. I remember reading C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, and he said, "Where we all have a conscience. We have this desire to somehow do what is right, even though we don't necessarily want to."
Right.
Where did this desire come from?
Right.
It's very inconvenient.
Uh-huh. No kidding.
It's incredibly inconvenient. You don't want to live by it quite often. Yet there's something inside that tells you it can't be conditioning,
right.
because the thing is, it's not popular. Things that are popular through society are usually conditioned. Yes. This is within you. It's not popular. Yet for some reason, you just have to do what's right.
Yeah.
You want to do what's right.
Right. Well, I don't think you want to do what's right. I think I want to define. You know when you do something wrong, but you also your conscience is the sense of ought. We all have a sense that there are things we ought to do, and then our society kind of trains us in what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. And depending on the society you live in, your ought factor has been molded. Okay? So I don't think the conscience is your desire to do right. It's the desire to do what you ought to do. Okay? And then, you know, dogs don't have that. Mm-hmm. And trees don't have that. Well, you know, we've talked about that idea, about, you know, human nature and where does human nature come from. The fourth, I think, proof is revelation. And we could go long. And give me a scripture that talks about revelation.
The revelation of God to
man. Yeah, to man. That the Bible is God's revelation to man.
2 Timothy. Sure.
Okay, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I mean, you know, so what we've tried to do, you know, what I've tried to do in this kind of program is to see if we could, without even opening the Bible, come up with some pretty good ideas and pretty good reasons for believing that that God exists. Okay, somebody, does somebody want to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse? Okay, Mike is going to read that.
All scriptures God breathed.
I mean, you know, that's a word. That's a real word.
Because they don't look. Because there's so many proofs that you can have to believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take the time. A scientist, John Clayton, said that if you study science long enough, you will have to believe in God.
Mm.
That's, yeah, that's
very interesting.
The
time.
And send it to. That's where we already took it.
Look at a baby. I mean, it doesn't take time. You look at a flower or something, figure out how long it would take you to build something like that.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
You know what's interesting as well is that you can go out into space looking for God, or you can go into an atom looking for God, but you'll never find him. I mean, you'll see his structure, your creation. God is spirit. Right. You know, we can't see God inside of an atom, nor in outer space.
I think the main problem, though, is looking. It's interesting. Rafi brought up an important point. He said, when a child believes in Santa Claus, he's taught about Santa Claus and he's taught about God. As he grows older, you notice, though, how he would always be more willing to try to find out whether Santa Claus is real or not.
Right.
You're not acquainted with there's no poem that exists, yes, Virginia, there is a God.
Yeah.
We're acquainted with...
I don't want to mix.
Well, thank you for being with us this week. We're going to go on with our discussion here. We invite you to be here next week for another edition of Bible Talk. Bye-bye. God bless you.
Yeah.